is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
Zaporizhia nuclear power station. Breaking news from Bloomberg. Russia stalls on UN access to shelled Ukraine nuclear plant. Explanation. Russia defied growing international pressure to grant United Nations inspectors immediate access to Europe's largest nuclear plant amid fears of a catastrophe over shelling of the area in Ukraine occupied by Kremlin forces. The UN's International Atomic Energy Agency has warned of a, quote, real risk of a nuclear disaster at the Zaporizhia plant in southeastern Ukraine because of repeated strikes near the facility in recent days. Russian invasion forces took over the power station in March, though it continues to be operated by Ukrainian workers. Each side in the war accuses the other of targeting it. I welcome Henry Sokolsky, the executive director of Nonproliferation Policy Education Center, who is my guide in matters of nuclear power in war zones. Henry and I started talking about this risk in the early days of the invasion of Ukraine, when the Russian forces had overwhelmed Chernobyl in the north of Ukraine, approaching Kyiv, occupied it for several weeks with unclear aims, many anecdotes, and when the Russians withdrew from Chernobyl, there was a great relief, not only in Kyiv, but throughout Europe, given the catastrophe of the 20th century at the containment vessel in Chernobyl. However, soon afterwards, the Russian forces approached and overran Zaporizhia after a single shell or missile had landed near the complex, alarming us again. But then again, the story turned into what's going to happen in Donbass, not what's going to happen in Zaporizhia. Now we have the UN, International Atomic Energy Agency, that is the IAEA, much in the news about Iran's suspect nuclear weapons program. The director is named Grossi, and he has made a presentation to the this Security Council at the UN about his immediate need to get access to the Zaporizhia plant and to assure himself and the world that it's not now in danger. Well, Henry, I believe it's fair to say the plant is in danger, whether or not the IAEA gets there. What is your measure of right now at the UN? Do they have the wherewithal and the knowledge to get the Russians to agree? Good evening to you.
Good evening. Thank you for having me on again. I think the UN is rightly pointing to a problem, but unfortunately, I don't think they have enough troops, as you would say, leverage to make anything happen. And the Russians have pretty much thrown cold water on the proposals of the head of the UN, the head of the IAEA, the US, the EU, the G7, and that is to get out of the region near the plant any military forces. And of course, the Russians are not going to do that. And more important, they're not even going to allow others to come take a look. So I think we're in a bad way, worse than before, and we'll see how things unfold.
National Public Radio does us the favor of presenting a photograph from overhead taken by a satellite image from Planet Labs, dated 7 August, so within these last days. It shows the scale of this plant. There are 6 containment vessels. We're told one reactor is active now. There are spent fuel storage facilities. There are marks on this map of where there's been trouble. A rocket exploded near the old nuclear fuel early on. Ukrainian drone strike, according to this map, in the middle of the complex, and then a fire near the substation that is the electricity that permits the water to circulate and keep the one reactor we're told that is online to provide electricity for the Dnieper River Valley. Now, Henry, I want to lay out a scenario that we know from the Fukushima catastrophe a dozen years ago. The Fukushima plant was located near the seaside. The tsunami swept over the plant and knocked out the electricity substation that was keeping the water cooling the core in the active containment vessels. Once the electricity failed, as I understand it, the core overheated. That led to the explosion that we all witnessed at the time with horror. And there is no solution. There is, however, remedy. The Japanese spending an enormous amount of risk and time and treasure to not only contain the damage, they haven't been able to get into the core yet, even with robots adequately, but I haven't read up on this for some years. But they need to take the water that they're using to cool the plant as best they can and store it on the facility. So they have like a mushroom farm growing around the damaged and offline Fukushima reactors. Now, the reason I raise this is we have a fire near the substation, and we have reason to believe that the substation is vulnerable to either drone strikes or artillery strikes or missile strikes or deliberate sabotage. If that substation goes offline, do we have a Fukushima scenario here?
Well, you're getting closer to it in a lot of ways. There are emergency diesel generators associated with these plants, but then how much diesel fuel do they have? How long can those generators run? You're really shaving points here and getting close to trouble. No, you don't want those substations to be vulnerable, and they are.
Then we move to where we are right now. I want to make distinctions between the containment vessels and the spent fuel facility. We'll start with the spent fuel facility. Is that vulnerable to a missile or a drone strike? And could that lead to the abandonment of the facility if it's hit?
I'm a little embarrassed, but I always think honesty is the best policy. I don't know how they're storing the fuel in those facilities. Are they in hardened casks? If they are, the probability of them releasing, even if hit, is pretty low. I just don't know what they're using to store the fuel in those warehouses that are pictured. If they're in hardened casks, then maybe there's not as much of a worry. If they aren't, well, that could be a problem.
Then the core itself, the nuclear vessel, the containment vessel, is that vulnerable to a strike from outside and or a sabotage?
Well, the answer is yes, with qualifications. Those containment buildings have a certain hardness measured in pounds per square inch. I think my guess is that they're not that hard. And the reason why is they're designed to contain gas from getting out, not missiles from penetrating in. On the other hand, it's difficult to believe that someone, Ukrainian or Russian, take your pick, would choose to use the specialized kind of weapon you need to penetrate that concrete, which is something that would have a special kind of shape to charge. But there are other things coming out of the plant, like steam pipes that could be hit even accidentally. And, you know, I talked with a nuclear regulatory commissioner who's retired. He said, you know, we talk about these containment buildings, but people leave doors open. accidents occur because people get complacent about, you know, what should be tightened down. So I think, you know, we're really getting into potentially near history here. And you know, we hope we skirt this.
All right. The IAEA wants access to this complex to do what, Henry?
Yeah. Well, they nominally have a division that is entitled safety, which I have to point out is traditionally and currently run by a Russian. So the irony here is just incredible. Anyway, they would encourage us to believe that if they come and visit, they can relieve our anxieties or identify specific problems and get a true read. The problem is that they're really not that knowledgeable about the specific plant. You know, even the Russians aren't, and they're relying on the Ukrainians. And so I think it may be at least as symbolic as it is, really significant if they visited, I'm afraid. I mean, I'm not sure they could correct the problem there.
And the unknowns now pile up. So we're going to turn from Zaporizhia, fog of war. The Russians occupy it. Both sides are blaming the other for recent incidents called shelling or missile attack. And we're going to move to what we learned from first the Chernobyl incident early in this conflict, and now Zaporizhia, about the future, the contest between NATO and the Russian Federation that is written in the strategic concept at the end of June in the meeting in Madrid. Henry Sikorski, the Executive Director of the Nonproliferation Policy Education Center. I'm John Batchelor.